Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life, your busy schedule, to join me on my radio program today. Today is Monday, October 18th, 2021. I am continuing my very special month-long dedication to Rahane Jabari, reading from my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. It's dedicated to a young 26-year-old Iranian woman who was unjustly executed on October 25th, 2014. Her crime? Defending herself against a government rapist. For those of you that are not familiar of the oppression of women in Iran, when you hear what she was executed for, it may shock you. It may not. But think of it this way. There are laws in our country for the victims of assaults, domestic violence, of attempted rape. In Iran, there is no such thing. And in the case of Rahane Jabari, she defended herself against a former government intelligence agent. And because of his reputation, because of his standing, she was ostracized and she was tortured in prison. They did everything they could to force her to change her story, and she refused to do that. This morning, though, in the midst of all of this suffering, there is a miracle that happened while Rahane was in prison. It is in one of her prison letters that was never actually translated from Farsi to English. It never came up on the internet. This was given to me from Rahane's mother, Shole, and I was glad. I was overwhelmed to write this in my book. I don't want to give away the miracle. I want you to hear it. This is from page 191 of Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. Rahane is in prison, and this is the amazing miracle that happened to her. The other women in her cell were now sound asleep. It had been out, lights out, for at least 10 minutes now. It was 10:15 p.m., but Rahane was still wide awake. She couldn't sleep. Her mind was filled with tormenting, racing thoughts. She quickly grabbed book that she had borrowed from the library. It was by the author Al-Jazeera, entitled, quote, Anti-Memories, the story of the formation of Singapore. Rahane hoped it would mean a meticulous and boring reading, just enough detail to relax her mind and cause her to drift off to sleep. She could feel her body begin to relax, her eyelids becoming heavy. Suddenly, a young girl stood next to her bunk bed. Her bright appearance startled Rahane. At first, she thought it was one of her cellmates sleepwalking, but the face of the young girl was completely unknown to her. Rahane had never seen her before. The book fell out of her hands, and immediately the girl began speaking to her. The young girl began to speak about Jesus as if she personally knew him. She spoke about his love and compassion and explained that he had died on the cross to forgive all of her sins. Rahane was shocked. She sat up, interrupting the young girl. "Don't you know that you can't roam the corridors after lights out?" The young girl smiled warmly at Rahane. "I'm a newcomer. I am not aware of the rules and regulations, Rahane." A cold chill shot through Rahane's body. "How did you know my name?" The young girl's face glowed once again with a warm and compassionate smile. "I have heard stories about you," she answered. Rahane began to laugh and then covered her mouth, careful not to wake up her cellmates. The young girl looked intently into Rahane's eyes. "You must read books, but not every type of book." Then the young girl gently touched Rahane's hand with hers. Rahane opened up her hand. She carefully placed something shiny in it. And then, like a flash of lightning, disappeared from her cell. Rahane shrieked and fell back on her bunk bed. Her hand was trembling in fear. Slowly, she opened it up and gazed down at her sweaty palm. Lying in the center of her palm was a small metal cross. Rahane was astonished. She frantically looked around her cell. The young girl had mysteriously vanished just as she had mysteriously appeared, trembled with fear. Beads of sweat rolled down her cheeks. She nervously stuffed the cross underneath her pillow and collapsed underneath the sheets. Rahane slowly opened up her eyes and took a deep breath. For the first time in weeks, she felt refreshed, as if a heavy weight had been lifted off of her. She felt alive again. Last night had been the best night's sleep she had experienced in a very long time. Even before she could sit up on her bunk bed, the images of the Christian girl flashed across her mind. Had it been just a dream? Did she really see her? Rahane remembered. She pushed her hand underneath the pillow and felt something. Anxious to see what it was, she grabbed it and opened up the palm of her hand. Rahane's eyes grew wide with astonishment. It was the metal cross. It hadn't been a dream. It had been a real experience. "Why me? Why this cross?" Questions raced through Rahane's mind. "I have to find this girl," Rahane vowed with a determined tone in her voice. Once more, she gazed down at the metal cross in the palm of her hand. Suddenly, she was immersed with feelings of tranquility and peace. Clouds of despair seemed to melt away. In that very moment, Rahane felt cleansed. She felt whole again. The feelings of brokenness were gone as she gazed intently at the tiny metal cross in her hand. What does it all mean? Rahane pondered within herself. Why did this Christian girl visit me? The brokenness and despair that had tormented her soul seemed to fade away the more that she gazed at this cross. Rahane felt healed for the first time since her captivity in prison. This morning she had a mission to find this Christian girl and to thank her. After getting dressed, Rahane met up with her cellmates and shared her amazing experience with them. They were shocked by her story and spent all morning asking her questions while they frantically searched for the young Christian girl. Yet, at the end of the day, the mysterious visitor was nowhere to be found in the prison. Now Rahane was determined to take the next step. The Christian girl had admonished her to read books, but not every type of book. Calling her mother on the phone, Rahane asked her to bring her a Bible, but Sholeh explained that it would be impossible to fulfill her request. It would be too dangerous to smuggle a Bible into prison during visitation. Refusing to give up, Rahane met with an old friend who had been with her in Evan prison. Her old friend Fatima agreed to talk to someone in the library and promised to get her a copy of the Bible. A week later, Rahane was once again relaxing in her cell with a beautiful maroon copy of God's Word in her hands. She had a hunger and a thirst now to discover what God had revealed in his holy book. She knew very little about Jesus or Christianity and was now anxious to learn. For 2 weeks of non-stop reading, Rahane devoured every word, every story in the Bible. Her heart had been warmed by the vision of God as told by the biblical writers. Holding the Bible against her chest, she was troubled by the reality that thousands of men and women had been tortured and killed for believing in this precious ancient book. The more Rahane read, the closer presence of the divine. After reading through the Bible twice, Rahane had a profound feeling of freedom deep down inside of her soul. Even though she was physically a prisoner, spiritually, she had discovered a new beginning, a burning freedom, and a fresh vision of hope after reading the Bible. It's a miracle. I now have hope once again, Rahane rejoiced with herself. I now believe in a God who loves us, she proclaimed, a God who loves us and will never leave us. Rahane had experienced an incredible miracle in her heart. She could now forgive. She decided to let go of all of the hatred and bitterness in her heart that had imprisoned her for so long. Rahane could now forgive even her brutal interrogators. The Bible had given her the power and grace to forgive those who had physically and emotionally tortured her. Forgiveness had cleansed Rahane's heart and soul. The black clouds, the chains of despair, had utterly been broken by God's word. She felt like a new person, a butterfly that had been born again into a living hope that would never fade away. I want to spend just a couple of minutes commenting on this. Some of you may not believe it. You may even think that Rahane, bored in prison, even though she was suffering, and even though she wrote these prison letters, just decided one day, hey, I'm going to write something that makes this more exciting. But think with me. It was never published. It was never translated. It never made the news on the internet. Had Rahane just wanted to come up with some story to astonish people? Well, she failed because it was never published. But think again with me. Rahane had never been a religious person. Never. She was content just being a nominal, if you will, Muslim in name only. But religion had no attraction to her. I want you to think again with me. Look at the result of this encounter with this angel, as we say, because it had to be, this girl. What happened to Rahane? She felt cleansed, born again, and the evidence of having a real encounter with Jesus, she was able to now forgive those who had brutally tortured her, interrogated her, had caused her pain. She could now say, I forgive you. Let me tell you what, there had to have been a powerful experience to prompt that. But not only that, as a result of this encounter and this experience, she now began to reach out to the drug addict, to the prostitutes, to the political prisoners. And she even later on in one of her prison letters told the story of one political prisoner. She became the voice of other women in prison. None of this happened until this Christian girl gave her a little cross, which was, of course, the Christian symbol of the crucifixion. That is astonishing. That is unbelievable. And don't be too amazed, for us who are Christians and believe in the supernatural, we know that God can do things like this. He can send angels into those in prison. In the Bible, we have a great example of it. The Apostle Peter was in prison. An angel opened the door for him to leave. He left. He ran to the house of his friends who were praying for him in prison. And when they saw him at the door, they laughed. Oh, this can't be Peter. It must be his spirit. But no, it was Peter. And they were in there praying for him. They didn't even believe it. God did an amazing thing in the life of Rahane Jabari. When I first read this letter, I was just blown away. Rahane commented, now I know there is a God who loves us. She didn't know that before. Can reach into the dirtiest, darkest prison in the world. Doesn't matter where that prison is in the world. God can come into that prison through one of his angels to bring the good news of Christ, the good news of the gospel. And he did that in the case of Rahane. In all of this suffering and torture, he reached out with the love of Christ to Rahane Jabari. I want you to take just a couple of minutes this morning and listen to this incredible song by Elevation Worship. One of the words is, the Lord is in this place. The Lord is place. One day in 2011, God lit up a deep, dark, dirty prison with the good news of Christ. He was truly in that place. Let's listen to Elevation Worship right now and a song called Here Again.
Unless you come, we need not enough unless you come. Will you meet me again?
It's just extravagant worship, elevation worship here again. The words are awesome. Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. One day, the Lord came and visited Rahane in one of the most evil, dirty, darkest prisons in Iran. Don't ever say that you don't matter to God. Rahane didn't know that. She was all alone except for a few of her cellmates, and in the middle of the night, her life was transformed with the visit of an angel. Next week, I will be reading the conclusion of my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, the incredible emotional execution scene. This is a little poem dedicated to Rahane and all girls, all women oppressed in Iran. It's entitled The Beautiful Rose of Persia. There is a rose that was silenced, that was crushed, but it will live again. The sun will shine again. You gave us hope, gave us healing, gave us life. Your life will never end. The rose will live again. The sun is going to shine again. The rose is going to live again. Give me wings of freedom so I can fly. I want to fly high. I want to soar. Give me wings of freedom or let me die. I want to touch the sky. I want to soar. I want to kiss the sky. It was one of the most painful, emotional books I have ever written, and every October, God willing, every October, right here on the cross in the desert, I will tell Rahane's story. My goal is that her story will be read by every culture in the world. This book has been successful, and I've encountered a lot of people whose lives have been radically changed by reading it. And it's because it's powerful, not because I wrote it, but because of what God did with this young girl through her torture and suffering. And God wants to write the stories of all Iranian girls who are being tortured and suffering. I hope one day I can do that, because there are thousands of other Rahanes in Iran that we don't know about, but one day I hope to write about. I hope that broadcast has struck a chord in your heart. I hope that you will pick up the Bible and encounter the love and the grace of God the way Rahane did. It changed her life forever. Next week is the painful conclusion to Rahane month, and I'll be reading about the execution. My prayer is that you have an incredible good week. Stay safe. Stay healthy. I will see you again this Thursday. on the cross in the desert. God bless you.